Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for letting us come to this house today, Lord, to hear this wonderful news about you, about the name of Jesus. There's something about that name. Okay, I can get myself together here. That was great. Lord, thank you for being with us always. Thank you for the creating all. Thank you for creating us. I was reading this morning, Lord, about the harvest, how there just need to be laborers for the harvest. Send us out to be the laborers to harvest your people, Lord, to strive to be more like you each and every day. I pray that someone here today, we're all here for a reason. You brought us here into this house to hear your word, to hear the truth is coming from our messenger, Lord. I pray for him that you'll speak truth through him. Break chains today, Lord. I know someone needs to break some chains. There's nothing like it when you do. Be with us in this dark world to be a light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good luck, buddy.
Oh, no, that's not hard to get in behind. If you can't get up and preach after that, there's something wrong. Woo! That was my little sister, not my daughter, Willie Mae. That was my little sister, Becky. I've been trying to get her to sing for 3 years. She showed up today. We've got special guests here from... We had the Lacey Lane reunion where I grew up yesterday, and the Coopers and the Burchetts and the Hamptons were there, and the patriarch of Lacey Lane is with us today, Dr. Tom Cooper, 90 years old. And he and his daughter Polly drove down. Well, actually, Dr. Cooper drove down here himself from Lexington, Kentucky. Amen? So they've come from foreign country to be here with us today. Amen. And those of you that are visiting today with us, God bless you all. We love having visitors and guests, and you may wonder what all this stuff's about. Well, we're in the middle of Vacation Bible School. And our campus church out at Peaches Mill Road at Kenwood is in the middle. They're embarking upon their first Vacation Bible School tonight. And we had a block party out there yesterday. I got over there, me and Bubba got there about 8 o'clock, and it was 83 degrees already at 8 o'clock yesterday. Muggy, and I want to thank all of you that showed up to help. It was a great, great day for Jesus yesterday. And hallelujah, it's going to be a great day right up in here for Jesus this morning. When you come to God's house on God's day with God's people, you always ought to be anticipating and expecting God to do something miraculous. If you're not expecting anything, you're not going to get anything. All right? You have not because you ask not. All right, we're in Luke 14 this morning, and this is a great, great passage of Scripture, and it's not preached on a whole lot, but if the Lord will bless it today, I believe it'll be a blessing to you all. And let's just read this whole passage if we can. Let's honor God's Word by standing to our feet. Luke 14, starting there at verse 15. Luke 14, verse 15. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him, that's Jesus, heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he, Jesus, said to him, A certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time. Isn't it amazing that the Son of God calls the evening meal supper? Jesus must be from down south. Amen? And sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they are all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." And another said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." And still another said, "I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it's done as you commanded, and still there is room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Father, would you bless and honor your holy, authoritative, inspired word today. May we respond to this invitation that you're giving to every one of us by just saying, "Yes, I come." In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Please be seated. In just a few short minutes, I'm going to extend an invitation to everyone within the sound of my voice. And this invitation is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got good Bible authority to do that. You know, over in the last page of the Bible, last page of the book, it says the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him who hears say, "Come." Let him who thirsts, come. Whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. So we're talking about an invitation to salvation this morning. And it's time that message returned to the pulpit in America. This is an invitation to salvation. And Jesus, in this parable, compares this invitation, and I like it, he compares this invitation to that of an invitation to a great banquet. It's an invitation to a feast. Some people get the idea that an invitation to accept Jesus Christ means giving up everything. Well, yes and no. Some folks act like Christianity is akin to carrying a coffin under one arm and a tombstone under the other. This is an invitation to a feast, not some funeral. Amen? And so that's what we're talking about here this morning. And I'm here to tell you, salvation is like a banquet hall, not a concentration camp. And some of us act like the latter, and it's not at all. We have an invitation to a feast this morning. And Jesus describes this feast, this invitation to the salvation supper, as a great supper. Isn't that interesting? Not dinner, supper. So Jesus calls the evening meal what? And if you call it dinner, I question your orthodoxy this morning. So let's take a look at this. Now, I don't know. Some of y'all have been to some great dinners. I almost started to ask, but I won't do that. Some of y'all have been to one of these hot dog $100 a meal dinners, $100 a plate. I know some of y'all have been to some of these big shindigs. And you know, the men wear all, they all have on tuxedos, and the women are dressed to the nines. They've got these beautiful dresses on, and they've got the lace and the pearls, and their hair's all done up, and the food's fabulous, the entertainment's exquisite, and the atmosphere is just thick as peanut butter, you know. And it was a fact. But Jesus, in this comparison, when you compare the great banquet that Jesus is talking about, the salvation supper that he's talking about, to a $100 a plate dinner down here, that's like sitting down to cotton candy at a carnival. It's going to be an amazing time. We're not going to be sitting down just bread and water at this salvation supper. And I'm so pumped about, you know, just think about the salvation supper that Jesus is inviting us to this morning. There are dishes of forgiveness, trays of peace, bowls of joy, layers of love, and goblets of grace, and oh, silverware of mercy. Oh, come to the salvation supper today. And you're going to be invited to come and dine on the authority of the Word of God. Now, I want to say several things about this invitation this morning. There are several aspects to it. And first of all, the invitation to salvation is extended by none other than the Lord Himself. Notice its simplicity. Look again at verse 17. And He sent His servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." Now, the host sends out the servant at the appropriate time to invite the folks on the guest list and for this prepared supper. And the invitation to the supper is very, very simple. It just simply says, "Come. Come." That's all you've got to do. God has prepared, has planned this meal. God has prepared this meal, and He's paid for this meal. And all you've got to simply do to respond is just come. Isn't come a good word? I mean, Jesus said, "All ye who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you" what? Rest. He said to His disciples, "Come and see." And here He says, "Come, for the supper has been made ready." All things are now ready. And you know, I like that good, come is such a great gospel word, and I believe C stands for children. All the children in here today can come to Jesus. I believe O stands for old folks. Old folks can come to Jesus this morning. M, I'm almost past this, middle-aged folks can come to Jesus. And E stands for everyone. Everyone can accept this invitation to salvation this morning. Isn't that fair? It's simple. Come. Jesus is just saying, come to whosoever will. And then notice its availability. He says, come, for all things are what? They're ready. It's all done. It's completed. This invitation comes available to everyone. Now, our salvation didn't come, well, it can't, it's free for the taking, but it didn't come cheaply. Do you hear the cries from the cross this morning? Do you smell the stench of blood? Do you hear the buzzing of the flies? And you can almost taste the tears of the women at the foot of the cross. And you see how the Lord has been mocked and ridiculed, and His enemies are wagging their heads at the foot of the cross. Do you feel the sting of the cat of nine tails, that whip? All this invitation is free to all who would come, but it did not come cheaply. And it's finished. It's been done. You can't pay for it. You can't merit it. You can't be good enough for it. The gospel invitation has been made available. And notice its punctuality. Look again at verse 17. He says, come, for all things are what? Now ready. Do you know when the best time to come is? Right now. Right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now, notice the punctuality here. Now. The supper is now ready. Now, a little boy came forward during an invitation like we're going to have here in just a minute. And he came up and he whispered in the preacher's ear. He said, and the preacher had asked him, he said, "Why are you coming today, Johnny?" And Johnny whispered in the preacher's ear, "God did His part and I did my part." And the preacher said, "Wait a minute now, what are you talking about?" And he said, "I did the sinning and God did the saving." Isn't that the way it is? I mean, God's played his part, hadn't he? And all we've got to do is our part, and all we simply got to do is come. I'm so thankful Jesus did what he... There is something about that name. There is something about that man. And by the way, there is a glorified humanity on the throne in heaven. There's never been anyone like Jesus, and there never will be, and I can't wait to see him again. And by the way, we're all going to see him, but you first got to come. Y'all, that's good preaching this morning, whether you know it or not. The invitation is extended. It's simple. It's available. And it's punctual. Right now is the time to come. And then notice in verses 18 through 20 that this invitation is being examined, even being evaded. Some people kind of... Anyways, take a look at this. There's some acceptable... There's three folks on the guest list that are invited. And they give some excuses that they can't come. Look at verse 18. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have... Now, that sounds like an acceptable excuse. Dick, that's the real estate excuse. Businessman has bought some property, needs to go check on it. Sounds good. Sounds like an acceptable excuse to decline the invitation. And then the second one, look at verse 19. Another said, I bought five yoke. That's 10 oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Now, I mean, Will Barnett, I mean, you're all about buying 10. You probably bought at least 10 bulls in your time. And that sounds like a good excuse. I mean, the farm needs some animals, especially some cattle, right? So that sounds like an acceptable excuse. And then the third one, I like this one best. Look at verse 20. And still another said, I've married a wife. And therefore I can't, he's henpecked already. Mercy. I've got a wife, probably on his honeymoon. That sounds like a good excuse, right? And so, but when you dive a little bit deeper into this, after all, our wealth, our work, and our wives, I mean, those things are most important. They ought to be, the field, the farm, and the family, they ought to have the top priority in our lives, right? I want to tell you, whatever excuse you give, if you don't have one, guess who will give you one to decline this invitation? The devil's got 1,000 of them. And I don't care how acceptable the excuses may sound, You know what excuses are when it comes to declining the invitation to a salvation supper? Excuses are alibis. And alibis will turn into a lullaby. And the old devil wants to rock everybody to sleep until we wind up eternally separated from God. That's what he wants to do. That's exactly what he wants to do. So let's take a look at these excuses. Let's take a second look at these excuses that seem to be acceptable. Look again at verse 18. He said, I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. Now, what real estate guru do you know that buys a piece of property without even seeing it sight unseen? I don't know anybody that does that. And if you have, you've got more faith than I've got. And then... Will, would you buy 10 big, strong, healthy bulls without having first seen them? Not just taking somebody. No, he's going to go take a look at them before he buys them. And then you tell me what bride, what newlywed wouldn't want to get all dolled up and dressed up and go to a banquet. And you tell me what groom would turn down a banquet for his wife's first or second meal that she cooks? It just kind of, you know. These are all unreasonable excuses, aren't they? And, you know, we've been making excuses ever since the Garden of Eden. Do you remember when God came looking for Adam after sin came into the garden? Remember what Adam said? Well, God, you're the one that gave me this woman. She's the one that made me do this. And then you remember what Eve said? Well, devil made me do this. And she blamed it on the devil. It always amazes me at some of the excuses I hear. And I'm always trying to, you know, either... I'll be talking to folks out in the community and I'll invite them to come to Christ first and then I'll invite them to come to our church. And I've heard this, y'all. I promise you. Well, I'd come to your church if it wasn't for all the hypocrites. That excuse doesn't fly with me. You know what I tell them? Well, come on, one more's not going to hurt us. I know I'm, you know. But really, most excuses are unreasonable, aren't they? I mean, and here's one I hear all the time. Well, I'd give my life to, but I first got to get my life cleaned up. Well, let me just tell you, friend, you will never clean your life up. I couldn't clean mine up. He had to clean me up. You see, God does the saving and He does the cleaning too. He does all that. And then I've had other people tell me, well, it's just not the right time. I don't feel like it. And let me just tell you, if you're sitting here today and you're waiting on some feeling, we're not saved by feelings, we're saved by faith. Faith in that wonderful person named Jesus. And He'll give you everything you need to accept this invitation today. Acceptable excuses turn into unreasonable excuses. And then there's one final thing, one final truth about this invitation. The invitation is being expanded. Now, look at 21. So that servant came and reported these things to his master, and then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, all right, you go out into the highways and the hedges, I think your King James Bible says, and you bring in here the poor, the lamed, and the maimed, and the blind. The gospel invitation is being expanded to everyone. And it's expanded lovingly. The host tells the servant to go out and find the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, the broke, busted, and disgusted. And he tells the servant, you go out and you invite everybody you see out into the highways, the hedges, the city streets, everywhere, over the, can I still say down in the holler, you know? You go everywhere. And I want to tell you, when it's all said and done and we're sitting down at the Lord's table, there'll be prostitutes sitting beside princesses. There'll be drug addicts sitting beside doctors and lawyers. There'll be the poor sitting down with the prosperous. And glory to God, we'll finally get it right. Black folks will be dining with white folks. Hallelujah. This invitation is being expanded lovingly to anyone and everyone. Anyone can come. And then look at verse 22. This invitation is being expanded generously. And the servant said, Master, it's done as you commanded, and still there's room. And then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Isn't that amazing that God wants His house to be full? He's a big-hearted God. And right now, God's adding leaves to the Lord's table. To the north, to the south, to the west, and to the east. So that anyone and everyone might be able to come. He's prepared enough food for everybody to come. Well, I hope there's somebody hungry up in here today. And by the way, there are two destinations when you check out of here. When you step out into eternity, the Bible tells us there's one of two destinations. And one of those is hell and the other is heaven. And by the way, it's just illogical to refuse this invitation because Jesus went to your hell for you so that you could make it to heaven. I love what Becky said, John 14:6. The only way you're going to get to heaven, the only way you're going to get a relationship with God is through Jesus. You have to come to Him and Him alone. Now, there's one final thing. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. This invitation is being expanded urgently. That word compel, now y'all listen to me. That word compel literally means to urge persuasively or to motivate forcefully. The picture that's being painted here is to run into a house that's burning down, that's on fire, and rescue the one that's in the house by taking them out. That's the way the language reads there. You know, heaven is not the default destination. Hell is. You don't have to do anything. And you'll wind up in a place forever separated from God. But I've come here today to tell you, man, Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And God proved His love for me. He demonstrated His love for me that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And He died for you. And here's the best part. Jesus ain't dead. He's alive forevermore. And He is praying at the right hand of the throne of God that many of you today would receive this invitation to His salvation supper. Now, I know the crowd I'm looking at. Some of y'all are church folks. Well, I'm going to tell you, as much as I love and as proud as I am a Second Mile Church, this church ain't going to get you to heaven. Some of you got your name on a roll somewhere at another church. Well, that church isn't going to get you what you need. Some of you are here and you've been baptized. Some of you have been baptized 3 and 4 times. So many times that all the frogs in the pond know you on a first name basis. That's not going to get you where you need to go. Here's the deal. You got to have Jesus. And you've got to come to Jesus with a repentant spirit. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, be separated from God forever. And that word, all that word simply meant, how many of you know what a U-turn is? What you need to do, if you're under conviction about your sin this morning, you need to make a spiritual U-turn. And you make that spiritual U-turn by looking to Jesus as your only means of your way out and to get off the wrong path and to get on the right path. Has your life been changed? Is your life different today than what it was before you claimed to have met Christ? If you're not any different today, friend, because Jesus is in the life-changing business. Some of y'all don't think a whole lot of me. Well, just be patient. He's still working on me. But I know that 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 I know I'm one of God's children. Because His Spirit lives within me. And He tells me when I do things that aren't right. And I get under conviction about my sin. And then I confess that sin. And God says, that's one more sin my son paid for, forgiven. And then one day I'm going to stand. And you know what the devil does? From time to time, he'll head up to the throne. And he'll say, well, Heavenly Father, there's that old preacher of yours down there in Clarksville, old Cal Hampton. He's at it again. He's in sin. What are you going to do about it? He's guilty. And Jesus rises and says, He's one of ours. You see, God, when you receive this invitation, you will never again be hauled back into God's courtroom and pronounced guilty. But that invitation has to be received through repentance and faith by turning everything that you are over to everything that Jesus is. And then guess what he'll do? He'll clean you up. And he'll give you the faith, and sooner or later, some kind of feelings will follow. And you'll get so happy. You'll want to be obedient to what God tells you to do. And some of you are here today, and you've been saved, and you've never been baptized. What's up with that? You ought to want to take your stand for Christ today. Look what he did for you. And some of you need a church home. How do you make it without a church family? Mercy me. Here's the invitation. All things have been made ready, and all you simply need to do is come. And now it's time. Would you bow your head? Close your eyes. Nobody looking around. It's just time to do business with the Lord. Everybody bow your head. Here's how you come. If you're not sure about your salvation, man, I wouldn't let the devil whip me any longer. I would ask God to save me right here today. If you're under conviction about what we're talking about, that's the Holy Spirit. He's drawing you. If you'd pray something like this, Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin has separated me from you, but I don't want that anymore. I don't want to be separated because of my sin. I believe that your Son paid the price for every one of my sins. And right now, as best I know how, I'm making a spiritual U-turn in my life. And I'm turning to Christ and Him alone to save me from my sins. I belong to you now. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for saving me. Some of you all prayed that prayer for the first and only time. If you really meant business with God, if you returned from your sin and you turned to Christ, I believe what the Bible says. You're one of His. You've received that gospel invitation today. And you've begun a new life right now. Not a new start, not turning over a fresh leaf. You've begun a brand spanking new life. You need to take your stand for Christ right now. If you pray to receive Christ, all across the building, every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to just lift up your head, look here at me, right now, wherever you are. That's right. I see you. Just lift up your head right here. Look at me, right where you're at. You've accepted this gospel invitation to come. All right, I want to ask you all this question. Do you love the Lord? Do you know how much He loves you? Are you ashamed of the Lord? No, you're not ashamed. And I want to ask you right now, to just stand to your feet. And I want to ask you to come just a few short feet to the front up here. And we've got some wonderful men and women of God. They're going to help you in your new life with Christ. They're going to rejoice with you. They're going to praise God for you. And they're going to give you some things, some materials to get started right in your new life with Christ. They'll set up a time for you to be baptized. You'll want to do that. And so here's what I want you to do right now. If you prayed to receive Christ, and you say, I don't care who knows about it. Matter of fact, I want everybody to know about it. Would you just stand to your feet and come to the front right now? Just come on. That's right. Come on. My counselors would come forward. That's right, sister. You come on. Amen. Y'all just come right up here with me. Amen. All right. You all have prayed to receive Christ today. For the first and only time, you need to do that. If you really meant business with God, because the Bible says, right now, He's in your heart and in your life. He's taken up residence in your heart and life, and He's never going to leave you again. Ever will He ever leave you. You've got Him. And y'all need to take your stand for Christ through what we call believer's baptism. And I've got some deacons and counselors and some of the best folks in our church. They're going to take you downstairs and get some stuff in your hands so you can get started right. And they're going to pray with you. They're going to answer any questions that you may have. So right now, just slip on over this way. Some of y'all come on too. And y'all just take them down there. Is there anybody else that needs to come today? Just hang right there. You say, well, Pastor, I've been saved. I know that. But I was really saved. You know what Acts 2 verse 40 says? And when they gladly heard the word, then they were baptized. And about 3,000 of them that day were saved and baptized. And you need to come for your baptism today. Get that baptism on the right side of the cross. You were saved after your first baptism. And I want to ask you right now to come. Or maybe you've been saved here in the last, I don't know, little while. Just like Larry over here. You need to come for your baptism. Nobody's looking around, just come on. If you need counseling, we've got folks here that can help you. Now's the time. You come. If you need a church home, you come. Don't you leave here without doing what God's called you to do. Father, bless this invitational song, this response time. There are still others, and they've still got time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Andrew, you lead us. Father, thank you for your amazing grace. We believe, God, that you have changed eternal destinies here today. We believe people have been brought from death unto life. And we give you praise for that. And God, help the people of God to live like it. Help the rest of us to be about what your big heart's on. About bringing folks to Jesus. Oh God, thank you for allowing us to be involved in ministry. We love you, Lord. Touch and bless everyone in this house today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.